has died.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, sir.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City.
Amen. Amen. And I know we've got a couple callers. And guys, I'll stand by and let you know when they come on. And I'll turn it over to you.
All right. We appreciate it, Richard. We do welcome everybody to join us this Wednesday evening for Hope is Alive. And Hope is Alive is the show about testimony, about those who have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That is what deliverance is. Deliverance is setting the captives free. It is doing the supernatural works of Jesus. It is helping others, helping yourself, and being more effective within the kingdom of Christ. It's doing the Great Commission. And the Great Commission was commanded to all believers, not just the apostles, but all believers, all disciples of Christ. And these signs would follow them. And one of those signs would be they would heal the sick and cast out demons. And that's what happens at Deliverance Ministries on a regular basis. Pastor Cox will be giving you a pretty good testimony about that here in a little bit. But if you have any questions regarding deliverance, you can get a hold of us at deliveranceusa.com. Go there. There's just a wealth of web page, just a wealth of information on there. It is there at the click of a mouse, the smash on your smash of a button on your smartphone. It's there. Doesn't cost you anything but a little time, and that's not a bad deal. Or you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. Now, this is an excellent, excellent book to have in your library. It is a step-by-step process of how to perform deliverance, how to cast out evil spirits, how to minister the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and much, much more. And you can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you need that. We'll certainly get it out to you. But it is an excellent, excellent manual. Well, Pastor Cox, it's glad to be back on the air. I had to take some time off. This time around, it was my fault we haven't been live. but here we are. And it's good to be back. And Pastor, I'd like you to give that testimony you shared with me the other day.
All right. Well, it is good to be back, and exciting as usual. We had 14 exorcisms Monday night at Deliverance Ministries here in Oklahoma City, and a minister for each, so it was a nice one-on-one. And it's just the 38th year of doing it on Monday nights, over 700 cases a year. It's interesting to multiply that out. Turns out it doesn't seem like many any one Monday, but it adds up. But yes, it's the results that are so exciting to us. And you're referring to the case I had Monday night. The man had Parkinson's disease and had those shakes, you know, and we went through the process with him. He'd gone through the door closing prayer first, and then in my room, I took him to actually do the ministry steps and did the breaking of ungodly soul ties and then the inner healing. It was interesting, in the trauma door or inner healing, he locked onto a memory that was many years ago when there was an earthquake that he was in. And it scared him so bad that I found out later from the inner healing on it. But I found out later from the demon that was its entry. It was a major fear thing. And they take advantage of that. I've seen that before, or traumas, these evil spirits, even in operations, if you don't plead the blood of Jesus over it. They can come in when their person is unconscious. I had a case a couple of years ago when we had a big ice storm here in Oklahoma City area, and a tree limb had fallen on a woman, and everything changed in her life after that. She was unconscious for a while. She had a messy home all of a sudden when she'd always had a clean home, and just all kinds of things that changed, and I ministered to her and got the head demon up, and it admitted it had come in during that trauma when she was unconscious from the tree. And they don't play fair, but it went really well with this man, and the head demon was sabotaged. I got it up, interrogated it, and it finally admitted that it was responsible for the Parkinson's, and also what he called, the demon called it, trauma. Let's see, what was it? Trauma something. And brain trauma, that's what I was trying to remember. Brain trauma. And so I had him fix that as well. And then finally, when I cast the demon out and the others that were under its authority, once I knew there weren't any more remaining legal rights or assignments that hadn't been canceled, when I cast him out, praise God, his shaking disappeared. And we all rejoiced. There was two people sitting in with me, and he walked around the room, hands in the air. He's a spiritual Christian. And we all were praising the Lord. Now that's our Jesus setting the captives free.
That's right. Hallelujah. That's awesome. That's just awesome. And you know, the world will tell you that's an incurable disease. But there's nothing incurable when it comes to Jesus.
Yes. Well, it's a testimony to do it. Like you were mentioning earlier, testimonies draw people in. I think we may even get more born again at Deliverance Ministries than the churches that specialize in it, because someone will say, well, why don't you go over there to Deliverance Ministries? You can get rid of that fear and that anger, depression, whatever it is, and the person will come. And in the process, if they're not born again, we get them born again. We don't go any further until they are. And so we even have interview that we do after the door closing prayer, where we take them through salvation, and you ask, when were you born again? And people quite often mark tonight. So that's exciting. That's the most exciting of all. Amen.
Amen. It is. It is. That's just it's just an awesome experience. You know, you're talking about the entering on trauma. Trauma is probably one of the biggest door openers there is, because what can happen with trauma almost always goes hand in hand with unforgiveness. Unforgiveness and trauma, especially if it's a trauma that was committed to the person. And not necessarily, you know, earthquake, of course, there's no one to forgive there. Sometimes people might blame God for the earthquake, which he does cause them, but the spirits do enter in on that trauma, and it may seem silly to us, but you never know how much trauma it is for the person who went through it. Some people seem to be able to handle things, and it doesn't seem to bother them, and others, especially as children, it can be a very scary thing. Personally, I was an earthquake, but I slept through it once, so it wasn't enough to wake me up. But the trauma can easily come in, and that's thousands of testimonies right there that spirits enter in through some sort of trauma, and that's the great thing about deliverance.
With a child, you know, the people around the child might not think of it as a trauma, whatever it was. But mm-hmm. as a child, it was, and it left the child with certain bad feelings that the child will carry their whole life unless they get ministry.
Yes.
So, and a lot of hurting people out there.
Yes, and one of the things that they do at Deliverance Ministry is that inner healing is they deal with that trauma. They deal with it supernaturally. A lot of times it's just asking Jesus to take them back to that point. Let them know that he was there with them always to hand those feelings over to him. 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares and he will take them. I mean, these are biblical things that they do, and it's a supernatural healing. And when that trauma is healed, that legal right by the demons is no longer there, and it makes it even easier to cast them out.
Absolutely. That's why at Deliverance Ministries we seldom have any typical exorcisms as people would think of them. Rather, people are sitting nicely in their chairs typically. It does happen. We may go months. I say it's often somebody's been into witchcraft and that kind of thing. It's a tougher case. But the average Christian that we minister to, just sitting nicely in the chair, and they may yawn, cough, burp some as these spirits come out, or they may not even feel anything. Some people are just not very sensitive to the spirit world, and to the minister, when the first one I ever saw like that, I thought nothing happened, but because I went ahead with the steps, find out later they're just as free as a person who has all the manifestations. So it's not by feeling, it's as a Christian speaks the word, and the word performs itself.
Yes, yes, because it's the word. It is the power there, the power of the word, and we have seen many, many times where that trauma, especially if there's any unforgiveness there, it'll block successful ministry. Because they'll be holding on to something. How many times have we've seen the outburst, or we can't get a short leg to come out, or a healing, and just simply say, "Who is it you still need to forgive?"
Yeah.
And a lot of times they will they'll just have to speak it out. Oh well, I guess it's this guy or that guy, or this person or that person. So, well, Pastor, we have our first caller. I didn't get his name. But thank you for calling us this evening.
Nedra. Nedra, are you there?
It's Nedra, yes.
All right, Nedra, I'm so glad you called. That's Ralph on here with me. He's up in Branson, Missouri area. But excited you're here. And why don't you go ahead, Nedra, and give some history on yourself. and when you were born again, and what was going on in your life, how you learned about deliverance, what your deliverance was like, changes you saw then, and then what it's like going through the training and learning and becoming a team leader as you are. So go right ahead.
Okay, well, my name is Nedra Epps, and I'm a wife of almost 32 years and a mother of two adult sons. We moved to Oklahoma about 16 months ago. Regarding being born again, I grew up in the Catholic Church. So I knew about Jesus, but I didn't really know him. And when I was in the first semester of graduate school, I was invited to a Bible study, and I decided to go. And I became more involved in that ministry. It was a campus ministry sponsored by a church in the city. And I continued going to Bible studies, and one Saturday morning, a young minister preached in detail, in graphic detail, Jesus's journey to the cross. He described, the potential number of soldiers in the legion that whipped him. He described the whip that cut through his skin, the size of the thorns. The crown of thorns that was placed upon Jesus' head, and the size of the nails that were hammered into his hands and feet, and he didn't hold back. He was very raw, and it woke me up and it shook me, and I wept. I wept in that Bible study in front of the other people who were there. Crying out, Jesus, you did all of that for me. And in that moment, I truly, truly gave my heart to Jesus. And so I was in graduate school at that time, and I was studying social work, and because I wanted to help people. And after, a good long time into my career, I realized that it wasn't enough. So some years ago, I got into inner healing, and I knew that I would end up in deliverance ministry, but I wasn't drawn to it initially. All of that led me eventually to deliverance ministry here in Oklahoma. I was invited by a sister in my church to go through the deliverance, and I decided, after I went through my own deliverance, that I wanted to be one of the ministers. So that's how I ended up in deliverance ministries. It's been an amazing experience. Yeah.
Nedra, there's a lot of our ministers, actually, that's how they became a minister. They went through ministry first. They saw their life turn around and how it helped people, and they decided they wanted to learn to do it. So that's where most of them have come from. So just go right ahead.
Well, it was, as I said, I was not drawn to deliverance ministry initially because all I'd known about it was, the gross stuff that's usually associated with it, the flailing, the fighting, the throwing up, the whatevers. And one of the first things that caught my attention when I went to receive deliverance ministry was the door closing prayer. I was really appreciative of that. And Chris was the one who taught us that night. And he explained, in the early days of the ministry that you guys did deal with some, with various things. And over the years, God gave you the door closing prayer, and you begin to train people how to, you know, send the spirits to the feet of Jesus, and you know, because I think I wasn't drawn to deliverance ministry initially because, you know, I didn't like the idea of people being exposed in front of everybody and these things happening, and, you know, and I know that when people desire to get deliverance, you know, in many cases they probably don't care, but, you know, one thing I love about deliverance ministries is that, you know, people are able to maintain their dignity and their, but deliverance really does take place. I've now seen it, experienced and seen it for myself. But people can maintain their self-respect. I mean, they've gone through enough as a result of what the enemy has done in their lives. And I think that the way that deliverance ministry is done here in Oklahoma is just, you know, very life-giving and very honoring. And so, you know, I love that about the ministry. And so, you know, I don't know what I expected when I initially went to get, you know, ministry myself, but I truly, truly appreciate the methods that are used at Deliverance Ministry. You know, I heard some things that I'd never heard before, and you know, a little bit shocking, you know, but it works. You know, I've seen it now for myself over and over again that it works. And I love the fact that the ministers, the seasoned ministers at Deliverance Ministry, understand so clearly their authority over the enemy. There's no fear. There's so much confidence, you know. And you know, I've begun to learn about my authority over the enemy some years ago, and it's really great to be a part of a group of people who truly understand that as well. I believe that's something that the body of Christ needs to, you know, really, really grab hold of, that we have, as sons and daughters of God, we have complete authority over the enemy. And I love that.
Amen.
That display so clearly and so boldly, and, you know, at Deliverance Ministry. So there are a number of things I love about the ministry, which is why I'm, you know, still there and plan to stay there, as far as I know, you know? Yeah.
Yes. Well, that's so true. And of course, the time has helped us get there. Like you heard, when we first started, which for me was 44 years ago, and then I finally formed the ministry in, 38 years ago. But, yeah, at the beginning, we didn't know about our door-closing prayer, so we had a lot of fireworks, a lot of heavy manifestations, and it's fairly rare happens, but people sit there and get free by yawning, coughing, burping, or something. Just, you know, nice one-on-one, no big deal about it. And they get freed up. Well, so you're ministering now yourself. How many cases have you done now, Nedra?
I've been actually doing it myself for about 3 months, so probably 10 to 12 cases. At this point, yeah, something like that. Probably 3 months.
Can you share some of what you've seen in your cases?
Well, I've seen, you know, I've experienced the yawning and the, you know, and the various expulsions of the spirits, and you know, now that I know what that means, I can recognize it when it begins happening in a person that I'm ministering to. I've seen a leg that was you know, we do, you know, the prayer for the alignment, you know, of the legs and the fingers, and I've seen limbs adjust and come together evenly. I have asked the question on one or two occasions when I've seen legs that are not even, is there anyone else you need to forgive? And they do it, and I continue to pray, and I see the limbs come together evenly. I've seen, you know, the countenance on people's faces. People come in, I mean, just defeated and anxious, and I mean, just so troubled. And I see their whole countenance change, and their faces light up, and their confidence return, and joy. I've seen people become baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. And there was one young woman in particular not too long ago, and it was so wonderful. You know, as I begin to share teaching with her and do ministry with her, she began to, you know, realize that, my God, the enemy's been lying to me. I mean, I saw, you know, her face begin to change, and I almost like a righteous indignation come upon her face. She's like, the enemy's been lying to me. You know, her face started changing, and it was so funny because she said, in my past, she said, I was a fighter. And I said, well, that's why the enemy's been lying to you so much, because he knew that when you got free, that fighting spirit would be directed at him, and you'd be getting other people free. She said, that's right. And so she began to get freer and freer, and at the end, as we were praying in the Holy Spirit, she said, I feel like stomping right now. And I said, girl, go ahead and stomp. Trample that devil. And she started trampling the devil as she was praying in the Spirit. It was just so wonderful. It's like she got her, you know, she got her mojo back, and she left there full of confidence and strength, and it was just wonderful. But I said, go ahead and stomp, girl. You're stomping on the devil's head. You're taking back,
amen,
you know, what he lied, you know, all the things he lied to you about. It was just really wonderful, you know. And
I love it, Nedra. That really is common. We all marvel over that, the teams that we share with each other later. How people, mm-hmm, they come in, they look, some of them really bad.
Yeah.
You know, they're depressed.
Yeah.
Kind of bent over. And so as we go through the steps, I notice usually about halfway, you know, we've done the soul ties, they look a little better. And then we get, yep, into the inner healing. And about halfway through that, you start seeing their face looks different. And it looks younger. And by the time we finish, they don't look like the same person.
That's true. That's absolutely
amazing
true.
For all of us.
And, and the fact that everybody who ministers has the same or similar experience with, you know, the people who come in for ministry, well, we know that the method that, you know, the Lord has used you to develop, it works consistently. You know, it works consistently. Because, yes, we do all have similar testimonies of how the ministry impacts, you know, people, you know, emotionally and physically and spiritually, you know, and we literally see it manifest in their bodies and on their faces. So, I mean, and it's wonderful to me to be able to see right then and there God manifest his love and his power in the lives of these people. I mean, we see it every Monday night, literally, every Monday night.
Amen.
And it's really just wonderful.
I call it a Jesus overhaul, Nedra. Amen.
It certainly is.
Well, Nedra, you were sitting in with me Monday night when this man came with, I just picked him out of the, actually, Chris put him with me, and I come to find out he had Parkinson's disease and was shaking. And so we went through the usual things of the, after he went through the door closing, and he was good. He was real easy on forgiving. He didn't have a problem like some people, forgave himself and others and all, and went through the soul ties, breaking ungodly soul ties and inner healing. And he told how he'd had this trauma and an earthquake, and this heavy fear had come upon him. So finally, it was time for deliverance, and I tried for the hit demon and finally got it up. We went through a couple of other spirits first, but the hit demon was sabotage, and it admitted it caused, it had come in through that fear trauma with the earthquake, and it was responsible for the Parkinson's. And so I said, well, if you're responsible for it, you can fix it, take it off, can't you? If you put it on him, you can take it off. He said, yes. Of course, you have to confirm that, well, you confess that to be true for the Lord Jesus and Holy Spirit. He said also he had caused brain trauma. And so I had him fix that and advise me when it was done. And finally, we sent them all out. And praise God, his shaking seemed to be gone, and he walked around the room, hands in the air, praising the Lord. And he sounded better, didn't he, when he came in, didn't you think?
Oh, he was shaking visibly when he came in, and he was full of anxiety. It affected, you know, his thinking. You know, because he and I talked a little bit initially when you stepped out the room, and in the beginning he had a difficult time sort of maintaining his thought processes. He was just full of anxiety, and he was visibly shaking. And once the ministry was done, all of that was gone. I mean, it's clear all of that was gone.
Yes, it was just
there was no denying
for
it.
All of us. He already had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so we all prayed in tongues.
Glorifying the Lord. We did.
Amen. Well, we have just about a minute left, Andrew. What would you say to the listeners before we wind up here?
Well, to those who are born again, who've already given their lives to Christ, I'd like to say that it's important that you understand that even though your spirit is born again, there may be some issues in your soul, in your mind, will, and emotions that need to be addressed. The Bible says for us to work out our soul salvation with fear and trembling. And, you know, there may be some things in your soul that you may need to work out that may involve deliverance. And it's important for us to address those issues so that we're not, you know, an easy target for the enemy's manipulation. Because once we know who we are and once we know everything that Jesus died to give us, then we can walk in full authority and deal with Satan whenever he tries to come and attach something to us that doesn't belong to us. And so, again, I would encourage even Christians to, you know, make sure that they seek help for the issues of their soul. And Deliverance Ministries is a great place to do that. There's no shame. There's no, it's just, as you said to the gentleman last night, it's just making sure that, you know, the house is completely clean so that the Spirit of God can dwell fully. And we can walk
Amen.
The power.
Well, we're out of time, Nadra. And yes, from our viewpoint, it appears that every Christian, unless they've had this type of ministry called deliverance, they need it. I don't think anybody's escaped opening some of the doors. Well, thank you so much, Nadra. It was a great testimony.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
like how she wound it up there. It's just for getting the house cleaning in good order. Excellent testimony. Well, Pastor, we do have George. George, thank you for calling this evening.
Good to be on tonight.
Yes, George, thank you for calling
in.
Ralph is on here with me up in Branson, and I know you have a good testimony. I've known you a long time, George.
If we go back several years. I think probably more than 10 years.
Yes. Why don't you go ahead, George, and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and what was going on in your life and how you learned about deliverance, what your deliverance was like, changes you've seen, and now you're going through the training, and share about that. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, first of all, I grew up in a small town called Batesville, Arkansas. It's in north central Arkansas. I lived in a stable family, mom and dad. My mother was a stay-at-home mom. We lived across the street from the elementary school, so that every day all I did was get up, cross the street, go to school. At lunch, I would cross the street. My mother had a meal cooked for me. I went through first grade and finished college in the same town, which, you know, really kind of sounds boring to some maybe, but I consider it a very stable life. I sometimes compare it to Happy Days, that TV show that used to be on with the Fonz. But I lived in a town with my both sets of grandparents, my cousins, aunts and uncles, and also I found out later I lived in the town where my wife Kay was born, and her grandparents, uncles and cousins also lived. But she didn't grow up there. She grew up in Houston and Chicago and Birmingham. Her dad was a chemical and chemical engineer, and he was not there in Batesville, but she came back to attend college. And when she came back to attend college in Batesville, that's where we met.
All right. Well, that's exciting. And, you know, it's kind of nice growing up in a town like that. You know everybody. I grew up pretty much here in Oklahoma City, and, you know, it's a lot different. But I think it's kind of nice that way in a small town.
Yeah, and also, I grew up in church. My dad and I attended a Methodist church on a corner across the street. Was another denomination that my mother and my sister attended, and that created some conflict in the family because the other denomination did not consider us as being saved, and so it, in a way, it was a positive thing for me because it made me take a good look at what I believed, because they would talk about how when I died, would I go to heaven? And, you know, that's a very important thing to know. And so it made me take a good look at what I believed. And then when I was 13 years old, I went forward to that little Methodist church, and I remember it well. I remember my grandmother was there, and she came down at the end of the service, tears going down her cheeks. She was so happy. My grandfather was one of two the men who amened the preacher at certain times during the sermons. And so I grew up in a very stable church atmosphere, at least in that church. But I did have some challenges because my mother and my sister were a different denomination. But I consider that also positive because it made me take a good look at what I believe and what I don't believe.
Right. So, how did you finally learn about deliverance?
Well, that was a long time later. Kay and I became school teachers, And we ended up back in Arkansas after I'd gotten a master's degree at Ohio University. And I did the education route for about 11 years, 12 years. And then I felt a call into full-time ministry. I went to Oral Roberts University and got a seminary degree at Oral Roberts, went back to Arkansas where I pastored. And, you know, it's strange that ORU is a spirit-filled university, and they taught on the Holy Spirit, on the power and person of the Holy Spirit, but there really was not very much taught on deliverance. And that made it really an unusual situation, because when I retired, moved to Oklahoma City, to UConn, we went to a church where Richard and Mary Jo Peterson were they were over the prayer ministry, had about 175 prayer partners there, and I was teaching a class that Richard took. We became friends. And about that time, you and Richard decided you wanted to upgrade your website. I had some video equipment. I had a background in photography. I had some video equipment, some microphones that were good quality. And so we started recording you doing mass ministry, doing teaching, door-closing prayer. I don't know how many times I videotaped you, but it was many, many times. And that's how I got introduced to deliverance ministry, was through building that website.
How about that? You kept hearing me telling it in the videos.
I did. So, I not only, and also I participated. I feel like that the times that I went through deliverance were the ones that you did through what we call mass deliverance. It's on the website. You still have self-ministry, and I think there might be some on mass ministry, but I remember one where we videoed you as a church. I don't remember how many were there, 30 to 50 people maybe, and I was behind the camera, and as you led all of us through the door closing prayer, I participated in that, and I went through deliverance with everyone else in that church during that time. Then I started videotaping you as you did the door closing prayer in the churches where you met, like Faith Church, and then at the church where we're meeting now. And as you would take people through the door closing prayer, I would again go through it with you. And then when I would edit the videos, I would go back through all of that, and sort of like renewing my deliverance each time I edited the videos I'd made of you.
Did you see some changes come about with you?
Yeah, I did. When we first started, you were, I don't remember the name of the church building, it was a large white building, and that's where we started video recording your sessions, your teachings, and I don't remember the training being quite the same. It seems like maybe you did most of the training, and it was later, I think, that Mary Jo Peterson started doing the training. She has a teaching background, and she started organizing the teaching into about five sessions. And we take what you call the green sheet, and she would take that, break it down into about five parts, and go through each one. The trainees would come on Monday night, and we do this now. We come on Monday nights, go through session one. The next Monday night is two, three, and so forth. And then on session six, you come in, and you go through the whole thing. So we basically get a training that covers 6 weeks. Then in addition to the training that's done, you ask us to sit in with someone who's already trained, who's doing the ministry, and pray for them in that session, observe, and learn how they do deliverance. And so my wife Kay and I are both involved in this, and we both have done this many, many times. And I think it's a really good way of training people, because it builds confidence that we don't just kind of get an idea of what we're supposed to do and then jump in and do it. We do receive very well organized training, and then we sit in and watch other people do it who have done it many, many times. And I think it's a confidence builder. Besides educational, it's a confidence builder. Going back on my testimony, I talked about being born again at 13, but it wasn't just that one occasion that I had to really take a good look at my salvation, because when I was 22 years old, Kay and I were engaged to be married, and I was diagnosed with a deadly cancer and had to take a look again at whether or not I was saved, because the surgeon told me there was a possibility I would die from the cancer. As a matter of fact, one of my classmates in high school had the same cancer, and he died. And so I had to go back through what does it take to be saved. And I really like something I picked up many years later from the Billy Graham organization. It's called Steps to Peace with God. And one of the first things in that step, it's God has a purpose for your life. But then John 10:10 is quoted, where Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." And when I pray with people, I tell them, but that wasn't the first thing Jesus said in that text. He said, "The thief, your enemy, comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." And that really is a good scripture to keep in mind, because too often we want to take care of salvation, and that's it, that is important. But deliverance was a big part of Jesus' life. If you go back and start reading the Gospels, it's no time at all until he is casting out demons. He's healing people who are affected by being demonized. In Mark 6, he sent out the 12, and he gave them authority over all demonic spirits. And Luke, he sent out 70, and Matthew, he sent out 72, and when the 72 came back, says they reported even the demons submitted to us. And I think that one of the problems in the church, and I'm a retired pastor, and this is one of the reasons I think deliverance ministry the way you do it is so important. Most churches do not offer deliverance ministry as a way of helping people get set free from whatever is a burden, burdening them down. And so I'm always trying to recruit people to come and get the training that we offer on Monday nights at Deliverance Ministry, because most people in local churches don't even know that there is a deliverance ministry that is needed. As a matter of fact, I'm reading a book. Kay and I are reading a book by a man, his name is Peter Bellini. He's written this book, just came out this year, called The X Factor. The X stands for exousia, authority. And every, by the way, every Monday night, you quote Luke 10:19, "I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." And then you ask the question, I've heard you ask this question so many times, how much authority? All authority. And so Peter Bellini's written this book, but in the book he has a statement that I think summarizes my philosophy of ministry and in deliverance, and that is, he says, "Let me plainly state that every pastor and minister should know how to cast out demons, and every church should have a deliverance ministry. Further, every disciple should know how to cast out demons simply because they are a disciple of Christ. Everyone should be equipped, even if they do not know even if they do not have the gifts of healing. All they need is faith in God's word. And then he says, there are no excuses, exclamation point. And so I use deliverance ministry, the way you set it up, the training that we go through, to try to get people to come, no matter where they go to church, to come and get the training. If nothing else, get the training. I think you've done an excellent job of setting this up. It's practical, and I think it works because after we go through the training on Monday nights, we have people who come in from surrounding states. They've come from Alaska, Louisiana, Arkansas, and then we go out into the different room areas, and we start doing what we've been trained to do. And I have to say, I believe it works extremely well the way you've set it up.
It's kind of like a deliverance machine. It just keeps working, praise God. Well, have you seen, since you're a team leader now, George, have you seen any exciting things happen? We just have a few minutes left, so you might share some of your cases.
Well, for the most part, you know, one of the things you've told us over and over again is that the reason we go through the door closing prayer is to block the manifestations that become very distractive, so that we can't get to whatever the person came to receive ministry for, and so we don't have a lot of manifestations. I will say though, in the last 2 weeks we have had some. I was ministering next door to you one night 2 weeks ago, and you had one of those incidents, and it takes away from the time we have to get to whatever really is bothering the person and the reason they came for the ministry. I would say that the most of the people who come that I've ministered to are normal church kind of people. They are just struggling with some issues that started sometimes when they were children, and they haven't been able to get free because nobody has told them how to get free. I will say that from the first time I sat in with somebody in the training, I noticed a pattern of what really is bothering a lot of people, and those are sexual issues. They have been exposed to our culture, and our culture has just bombarded them with sexual ideas and thoughts and actions. They take action on those thoughts that come into their minds. And I've seen people get set free from those things. I've seen people who have had abortions get set free, people who have been raped, many different issues, and a lot of them surround sexual issues. But I see people get set free and delivered where no one seemed to be able to help them before.
Amen. Well George, we have a little over a minute. But yeah, you're right. Those are big issues in the sexual arena. But just fear and just depression and anxiety and anger issues, violence. You know, these people that we read in the newspaper or see on TV that do these weird things, you can be assured the demons are driving them. Well, George, in the minute remaining, could you give a... just to wind up here and tell the listeners in whatever you'd like to do in winding up.
Well, there is one thing that I didn't cover, and that is the Holy Spirit baptism. It's one of the main issues we cover in deliverance ministry, and this is something that came along later in my life. I was saved, but again, I didn't know about the Holy Spirit. And so one of the things I did after my wife started running around with a bunch of charismatic women and asking me questions, I bought a cheap Bible, a red marking pen, and took an exhaustive concordance, and I underlined everything in the Bible I could find that had anything to do with the Holy Spirit. And then I went back and read it And I was astounded at what the Bible said about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And I want to use that example to say, and now I've done the same thing with deliverance ministry about demons, about people getting set free. Go back and start reading the Bible, especially the New Testament. Mark those places that talk about Jesus sending people out to set people free from demonic activity. Mark those things and read them and see what Jesus said. And you'll find that the church is really faltering in doing what Jesus has called the church to do, and that is deliverance ministry.
Yes, so true, George. That's why we keep doing it. Thank you so much, brother. That was a great testimony. I look forward to seeing you on Monday night, and God bless.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you, George.
Okay.
It's a beautiful town he grew up in, Batesville, Arkansas. I've been there many, many times. There about twice a year. He laid it out and said how it is. And he's right. The churches just don't know about it. I didn't know about it. And it was this last month, 7 years ago, when I first met Pastor Cox. And I was about to have a divorce. I was bitter. I was upset. I dealt with a 30-plus year pornography addiction. And I had dealt with a methamphetamine addiction. I hadn't had any for several years, but I still dealt with the desire for it. And it was pretty much taken care of in just a matter of a few sessions. And I'm a changed man. My marriage is stronger than ever. Most people that talk to me say, you're just telling me how much different I am. And it's all because of the supernatural works of Jesus. You can have that,
and
too.
Deliverance.
Yep, deliverance. It's through the supernatural works of Jesus. DeliveranceUSA.com is the website. That book Pastor Cox written, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, which is what every Christian can do. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let me know you'd like to have it and get it out. This is for you. This is for every Christian. This is for every non-Christian. This is just a necessary part of the gospel. Do you thank everybody for calling?
A command.
That's right.
By Jesus.
That's right.
To do this.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's part of the Great Commission. But we do thank everybody for joining us this Wednesday evening. We look forward to you next time. God bless and have a good night.
God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.